This morning we'll be looking into Hebrews chapter 10, if you want to follow along with me, with verses 19 through 25, but I'll just read the first few verses first of all and talk about those, and then we'll read verse 24 and 25 later. Also, we'll be reading from Psalms in this message today. This particular message is a kind of follow-up with what the messages we had during the resurrection services. Jesus being on the earth 40 days, and then the instructions he gave his disciples and followers, and how it involves us, the church, the body of believers in our fellowship with him. Jesus created a lot of fellowship time and companionship with those that he was with during his time upon this earth. And then he left each and every one of us a message concerning the Great Commission that we are to be involved in, to be a part of. It's a purpose of the church to be involved in people's lives, because we meet people each day, don't we? Somewhere we meet people. Whether in the marketplace or work, wherever we work or wherever we go, we're meeting people. And we're creating a bond and a friendship. And especially with the body of Christ, we have that fellowship with the Lord and with one another. So follow along with me. It's a new and living way that we have in Christ. So beginning with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, he established that. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, and let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. And that's important for the body of believers, Christians, to hold fast the confession of our faith. And it says, our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And he who promised is faithful, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many purposes of the church, many purposes. I had a professor in Bible college that says that churches do all the right things, but they don't do all the things right. But that's what we are to strive to do all the things right that the Bible shares about the church and about the body of Christ. And one of the great things about the body of Christ and the church itself is the fellowship that we have with one another. It's important that we fellowship, we come together. And sometimes we think coming together for a meal is fellowship. Well, that's just a part of it, right? But it's the bond, the common bond that we have with one another, of sharing our needs and our concerns with one another, praying for one another, studying the Word of God with one another. It's going out and sharing our faith with one another. So there's many benefits that is given to us, and we are to share with one another. And one of those benefits Jesus, because he gave us that command to go. So when we're looking at what the Bible says about the fellowship, and that is one of the things, it's a common bond. Matter of fact, a good definition is that friendly relationships. We all have a relationship with someone, right? We know someone. It might be family, it might be acquaintance, it might be a relative. It may be close friends, or it may be someone new we've met, and we're building that relationship. So another one is companionship and communion as between members of the same church. Now, when we go get together with other churches, sometimes we want to sit with our own church, right? Yeah. It's good to sit with other churches when we're assembled together. And I encourage that a lot of times when we have meetings here down in our Family Life Center. I encourage not only to sit and talk with your own people, but that's when we come together as an association to fellowship with one another. And that's that spiritual bond that we have, not along with our physical bond that we have to one another. So in this particular first part of Hebrews chapter 10, now I want to read from verses 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." That's another part of the church and the fellowship that we have. So on your outline this morning, I put for the first part is that we need each other, right? We need each other. If any of you have ever had a fireplace or back in the older days when people used stoves and you put coal in your stove or even an open fire, charcoal or something like that. If you notice when you pile up those coals and you kind of build it up and you put all the chemicals and stuff on there to light it, makes it get hot and so forth, and it turns kind of a red glow. Have you ever noticed if you would take one of those red coals out off the top and lay it off the side, what would happen?
It'll burn,
yes. But what happens eventually? It goes out, it gets cold, it goes back to its original state. And most of them are black coals or something like that. And that's because you separate it from the mass or the other coals. And in that way it is with us as Christians. You know, if we stick together and stay together like glue, we stay fresh and we grow spiritually. And we learn from one another and our lives are enhanced with one another. But if we separate ourselves, then we lose contact. We lose that closeness and that bond and that fellowship that the scripture says, do not neglect or abstain from meeting together. Here in verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another in love and good deeds. And we can't do that if we're not with the main body, if we do not come together as a body of Christ. And that's why the Lord established the church so we could have that closer relationship. And he urged that even with the disciples. In the Last Supper, when he met with them, he said, I earnestly desired to have this time with you because I will suffer for the sake of the world. But this time is important that we continue our relationship. And I have some important instructions to pass on to you so it would be beneficial to you and as the church is organized, and it's all in the scripture about how the Lord told the disciples go back to Jerusalem and begin there and meet and pray for and wait for the Holy Spirit to guide and direct them and teach them all things that they have already been taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need each other. Jesus is saying, you need me. I need you to go out and share the good news with others. Now, in verse 25 here, it says, forsaking not, or not forsaking our own assembling together, as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, as all the more as you see the day drawing near. And here the author is referring to when the Lord comes back again. Now, that's a good thing that the author, whoever the writer is of Hebrews, it could have been Apollos, it could have been a companion of Paul, but the Lord laid upon his heart to state that, because we don't know when the Lord is coming back. But if we are separated or not a part of the body of Christ, we may not be as aware of his coming again as we do, as we study the Word, and the Word is preached, and we're sharing one another, and all the more as we see the thing that's going on within our world today. It helps us understand, yes, the Lord, the Bible talks about all of these things. When calamities begin to happen and see, and of course they've been happening all the way through generation from the old and the new, but we never know. But all the more to encourage one another. Don't get discouraged, because we know God's in charge. So we are to look for him for guidance and understanding, and look for that day and be excited about that day, because we'll be taken out of all of this calamities and the things that's going on in the world today, and all of the confusion and disarray of countries and nations that cannot work together and are not in common bond with one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, Paul says here, if one member suffer, all members suffer with it. What does that mean? That means a caring. That's that bond that we have. When one of you are sick or laid up or in the hospital or can't come to church, we suffer with you, because our concern and our bond is with you, and we understand that you would want to be here, but because of some temporary setback in your life, you're unable to. So Paul says, we care for you enough that we share your burden that you're going through and so forth. And we feel that, we acknowledge that. And sometimes the only thing we can do is pray. And that's why Paul says, even Jesus said, Paul is going to suffer for the sake. And he persecuted the church, and Ananias was to take care of Paul. And he said, you take care of Paul, because he is going to suffer much for the cause of the sake of my kingdom. And he certainly did. And that is a part of Ananias taking care of Paul. And he was going through that with Paul, that suffering part of caring and acknowledging the will of God. Now, the second thing, why attend church, is for spiritual health. Now, turn with me to Psalms 92. Psalms 92, and that's verses 13 through 15. Because Psalms has a lot to do and say about the church and the fellowship and the bond of Christ that we have with him. So in verse 13, 14, and 15, it says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So here we see in this particular chapter, there's another reason why believers should attend church, and that is for good health. And we say, we come to church for good health? Well, it helps, doesn't it? It keeps you positive. And the worst thing that we can do to our bodies is to think negative and not be a part of the connecting part of the spiritual things of church, which involves our good health. And that's why the scriptures talks about that. You want to live long, right? We want to live long as possible. And the census and the polls show that people who attend church has a tendency to be more healthier than those that do not, because they're stimulated by the Word of God, the fellowship, and the bond with one another, and therefore you look more positive on life than being separated or not a part of something that involves the Lord. Now, in verses, Psalm 1, chapter 1, 1 through 3 says, "Blessed is the man whose delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and brings forth its fruit in season." Do you hear what that passage of scripture is saying? Blessed is a man who is part of the fellowship, the things of the Lord. As we come together, see, we grow, and it's like a tree planted by waters near. It's drawing its strength, it's drawing nourishment, it's getting its thirst. We come to church to feel our spiritual thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's how our lives work. That's how God, through the Holy Spirit, says the sap that runs through. It's like reading John chapter 15, where God is the vineyard, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and as we are attached to the vine, then the sap of the Holy Spirit runs through the vine, that's us, the branches. It fills our life, and we become productive. We not only that. John chapter 15 says that we bear fruit, and then as we grow in our spiritual life, more fruit, and then more and much fruit. So that is important as we come to church, and the fellowship and the bond that we have, that produces new life, new and a living way. Now also, look in with me in Psalms chapter 71, verses 17 and 18. And here David is speaking again. He says, Psalms chapter 71, verse 17, "O God, you have taught me from my youth." See, it's important. I want to stop there just a minute. It's important that when we are young, that we're involved, we're in church, right? We grow, and we're taught by others, adults, who love the Lord, who have been gifted in teaching the Word and being mentored. So David said, "I am thankful, I am blessed from my youth that he had been a part of God's plan." See, he said, "Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds, your wondrous works that you have done, that you have chosen me, and that I am a part of the good things that you're producing in my life." Now, also in verse 18, he said, "And even when I am old and gray." Do we have anybody here like that? Yeah, old and gray. What would say? I'm good. I'm glad I'm from my youth, and now I'm old and gray, but I'm still being used by God. And that's what David said. Thank God you have allowed me from my youth to continue to grow. You've shown me your good deeds through my life, and now I am able to pass those on to others. And that's what it's all about. And he says, "And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me." And of course, God won't. And David knew that. But he said, "I'm still good. I'm still want to serve." And it says, "Until I declare your strength to this generation." He's talking about not only when he was young, but the generation he was in then, old and gray. "Your power to all who are to come." All those who come behind me. And that's why we are to be faithful to those who follow us. Old and gray, we are We can teach others, young people. We can mentor those. And we know that it's a battle in our day and time because of the world trends and the things that the world offers today. We have a challenge before us. So don't get discouraged. Don't fall by the wayside. But be encouraged like David. You know, even though I'm old and gray, don't give up. You keep on keeping on for the Lord. And so if you remain in the local church, then you'll still be proclaiming the works or the deeds of the Lord, leading the lost to faith in Christ, even when they are old and gray themselves. So a third thing now, let's look at a third thing. Not only do we need each other and we attend church, but it's good for spiritual health, spiritual growth, and now it's good for physical health. Let's go back to verse 14. Psalms 92. I won't read that again. I read it, but I won't read it again because it has to do with our physical health. They will still yield fruit in the old age. Okay? So you never quit yielding fruit. You hear what the scripture says? Even though we're young, we think, well, we yield when we're young, but we can still yield fruit, good deeds and good works for the Lord, even in our old age. Well, look at Moses and Abraham and all of those who were in their 80s and 90s. Well, look at Methuselah. How old was he? 969 years old. God still had a purpose for him. He kept him on this earth. 969 years. That's a long time, right? There were so many in the Bible in their old age who were still producing good works, good deeds, because they was allowing God to work through and in their lives. It was faithful. They walked with the Lord. So they produced. And that's what the scripture is talking about. That's why David said, you know, Lord, don't give up on me. I'm still plugging along. I'm still trying. And we never give up. So again, they will still yield fruit in the old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. Even though we're old, we can still be green, right? We can be ripe. We can be producing spiritual fruit all the way through our life. And that's what verse 14 says. It shows us another way that we can bear fruit. Expression, still bear fruit in old age, could mean those who worship the Lord in church, fellowship within the community of believers, and will possibly live to be a ripe old age. That's what David is talking about here. And this verse speaks of God's continually blessings on the believer, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And that's why Psalms chapter 23, Psalms 23, we all know Psalm 23. We can repeat it and say it by heart, right? Yeah. We can. But I like verse 6 where it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That was the last verse of Psalms 23. But in the first verse, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He will get me through Baca, the valleys of the shadows of death, fill my cup, it will run over. And then verse 6, surely goodness. Surely goodness. And I know, just like Jesus said, you shall be with me in paradise. He told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me. And David says, surely goodness, I will dwell. And you maybe have heard me say this before, but that dwell means to settle down and be at home. And our eternal home is heaven. And that's what David was looking forward to. He was looking at his age at then as he was, but he says, I'm still productive. I'm still, the sap is still running through me, and I've got green, ripe fruit on in my life. Now, Psalms 1:3 says, "He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season." See, we do that in our lives. It's season. "And its leaves does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." So whatever we do in the name of the Lord, it will prosper. Like Isaiah said, his word will never turn void. We will produce new fruit, new blessings in life. Now, the Lord certainly knew what he was doing when he established the church. He knew what he was doing. And in the book of Acts, it tells us all the functions of the church and what we should be doing. And Acts is based on and the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is revealed throughout the book of Acts, and that's why the church is so important. And that's why we should be a part of what God is doing in our church, every church. In our message today, we viewed three good reasons, and I want to repeat those again. And these are the things that we need to be doing on a regular basis. And it's important to attend church because believers need each other. We need each other, right? When it comes to prayer, we need each other, right? We lift up each other up in prayer. And I don't know how many people say, you know, if I felt those prayers in their personal situations, they say, "I felt those prayers." And see, that's why we need each other. That's why the church is important. That's why we come together, we assemble together. And, you know, headache, footache, toe ache, whatever it might be, sometimes we have a tendency to just want to sit at home and just say, and ache at home, right? But we can ache here at church, and it'll be a good ache, right? Because God will help us out, and he will take care of those things in our lives. And the second thing is vital to attend church because it will grow you spiritual health. You'll feel much better about yourself, about the Lord, and your spiritual growth. And the third thing is going to church will enhance your physical well-being. That scripture, that's not something I've just come up with, right? The Bible says, and you've seen all three of these, and the Bible speaks of each one of these. The last one is, again, going to church will enhance your physical well-being. I believe that wholeheartedly, and I know you do too. So these three major ways that fellowship and church attendance can benefit believers, benefit you, benefit me, but most of all, benefiting Jesus. Because he's the one to give the commands, you know. We don't make up our own agenda. The Bible has given us the recipe for life. And if we'll follow these ingredients, it'll be wonderful. When you're making a cake or some kind of dessert, you know, I know our grandmothers, they had it all, right? They didn't need a recipe. But the things that we do are from the recipes, right? The things that they taught us and so forth. We follow God's recipe, His word, the Bible. We benefit. We all benefit. Others benefit. And others see our lives and they would benefit as well. But most of all, we're benefiting Jesus because we're honoring him and his command to be followers of him. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your message today. And Lord, we believe it. And may we live it. May we follow always what David said, as from our youth all the way up, we can still be productive. And we can encourage and and stir on others to be faithful as well. And that is part of our responsibilities. We're here, but there's many others that could be here and need to be here to hear your word, to enjoy the fellowship, the companionship, the teaching, the praying, and the good deeds and works, Lord, that you provide through our lives. And you will work, and those that you use are closest to you. Lord, help us to be sincere and motivated and think of your scriptures as it is our life, a new and living way. Each day is a new day, and it's a new living way that we can strive to be more spiritual and allow you to work in and through our lives. We praise you and we thank you for the invitation that you give us each Sunday morning to make a decision, and we have that choice. We have that free will. But Lord, we're more blessed, and it benefits you when we step out in good faith and follow you with our life. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our closing song this morning is Take My Life and Let It Be. It's not to take my wife and let me be, but it's take my life and let it be. And let's sing that wholeheartedly this morning, okay? Let us stand as we...